I retired in 2016, and I retired because it was the first time in my life actually where I picked myself. In team sports, it's a lot about your peers, everything for the team. Mm-hmm. That's the hockey culture, it's the way. And I probably made the most important decision in my life was walking away from the game of hockey because of health, because I hit my head a few times. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I picked me.
I'm joined by Willie Mitchell. Willie is the owner of Tofino Resort and Marina, a high-end boutique hotel with Inventure in its DNA. He spent 16 years playing hockey as an NHL defenseman, and he retired in 2016 and took on an entirely different challenge when he and two partners purchased a hotel marina in Tofino. So it's a massive career pivot for you, Willie, and I'm so excited to dive in because I know a lot of my audience, it's either we're scared to take that leap of faith or like wanting to change careers can be extremely terrifying. So thank you for coming on, and I'm just excited to just dig right into it.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So I'd love to hear, I heard that you grew up in Port McNeil. I'd love to hear your childhood there. What was it like growing up in small town? So for those listeners that aren't Canadian, it's quite a small town. I don't know the exact population, but I'd love to hear what it was like growing up there and then kind of living all over the States for hockey.
Yeah, sure. Like you mentioned, I grew up in the northeast side of Vancouver Island in British Columbia, small town called Port McNeil. And when I say small town, I mean small town. There's often the small town, which is like in Saskatchewan or say in the Midwest, per se, in Minnesota. You drive through the small town, hit the next small town 20 minutes down the road. My small town was about 2.5 hours away from civilization. So it was remote. Bears were your brother and sisters, as orcas were as well. So yeah, I grew up there, always had a love, I guess you could say, probably my family could answer this better than anyone. My parents, I was an active boy, liked doing stuff in nature, always been connected with nature. But in the winter, it's pretty rugged being in a coastal community. And so an outlet for me was chasing around rubber, playing ice hockey. And that was kind of what I did in the winter. It was a way that I could spend all that like big boy energy when you're younger. And at the age of 15, at that critical point in your development, I guess you could say, and as a teenager is where you can, that why in the road per se. And my parents offered me an opportunity to go to a small private school in Saskatchewan called Notre Dame. And I tell the story now, they absolutely hustled me, and they used hockey because it was a hockey school to leverage that move, and sent me there to go get a better education. So that's kind of my upbringing in a small coastal community, and then ended up starting making that leap of faith, following just a passion at that point, and maybe just a passion and a dream to be an NHL player, and mm-hmm. and went on to that school.
Yeah. So do you remember the moment, maybe it was when you were 15 or 18 or 20, when you realized, oh, I could do this professionally, like I could actually make into the NHL?
Heck no, not at that age. No. I think some days, even when I made it, I don't even think, I think still then it was like, oh, can I do this?
Yes.
I would say it's much like, like being an entrepreneur is like, mm-hmm. there's waves to it. There's moments you think you're hitting your stride, and then all of a sudden there's some things you didn't know and didn't understand. You got to look around the corner and figure it out, lean on your network. And I think, mm-hmm. as a young boy, I'm 15, I look back on that and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Mm-hmm. Most people just sit there and like, I have two boys now, and one's 5, and often I think about, he's a third of the way to be out of the house, can't even survive, can't even function on his own really yet at the age of 5. And at 15, I did that. And I don't know what was inside of me, but I just said, okay, I'm going to go do this. And because it was solely my decision, I wasn't sent, my parents offered it to me. And I'm like, no, right. I'm going to go do that. And putting yourself out there like that to be in, a province that I'd never spent any time, not like 8 hours down the road, we're talking 30 something hours away from your family. And so I went through that. And I think my aha moment, I guess, in my NHL career was I was lucky enough to got a college scholarship, got all my tuition paid for. And I went to a small engineering school in upstate New York called Clarks University. And we played against, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and all that. Mm-hmm. And that my first year there, I won Rookie of the Year. And at that moment, I was like, oh, I can actually do this. Like, mm-hmm. like it's not a dream anymore, right? This is reality. And obviously there's a lot of time in between that aha moment and to the realization of your goal, but and a lot of obstacles and adversity what happened. But I think that was my first real moment where I was just like, oh, this isn't a dream anymore. This could potentially happen.
Totally. Yeah. And I love to talk about identity. So I'm assuming for a long time, you saw yourself as Willie, the hockey player playing in the NHL. And when you decided to retire, what did you like, did you have a moment where you're like, who am I? What am I doing? Because for me, I was a dancer for most of my life. And then I'm still in my early 20s. But once I stopped dancing, I was like, who am I? Like, am I supposed to go to school now? Like, I saw myself as a dancer. So for you, what did you do once you kind of stopped with hockey and trying to figure out who you were and your identity?
Well, I'm sitting in it right now and you're going deep. And I appreciate and respect that, man. Mm-hmm. Is that, how do I say this? Is like, since a young boy, my life revolved around chasing a dream. And I'm grateful that is very distinct and clear for me. People go a lifetime trying to figure out what's their lane. Mm-hmm. And mine was, I knew what I wanted to do. Right. And I committed to it. You know, drove around in mom and dad's Honda Accord forever, old rusted out thing. Right. Because I was too busy chasing another path where, you know, some of my friends who grew up in the forestry industry were making a lot of money and they were going down that lane. And I sacrificed all that to do what I wanted. And I say that is because you bring it up as a dancer. And I retired in 2016 and I retired because it was the first time in my life actually where I picked myself. Mm-hmm. In team sports, it's a lot about your peers, everything for the team. Mm-hmm. That's the hockey culture. It's the way. And I probably made the most important decision in my life was walking away from the game of hockey because of health, because I hit my head a few times. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I picked me. And then I was real first world problems here. I was in Reims in France, drinking a lot of champagne on a post-retirement trip with my wife. Right. And we said, okay, we're going to enjoy because we committed. And not just me, she did, right? She followed mm-hmm. my career as the primary breadwinner in the family. She gave up her career in marketing. Mm-hmm. And we're over in Reims and I had a call from a friend of mine and just said, hey, there's a kind of old defunct property in Tofino who's up for sale. And, I think it has a lot of potential. Would you be into it? And, I entertained it for a bit. And as a professional hockey player, it's a weird one because, you're on TV and the TV is such a powerful, powerful tool in the world today. Mm. We all know it. Right. And, the messages that can be portrayed in that. And I was known as Willie Mitchell, the hockey player. And mm-hmm. I just always thought there's more depth to me as a human being than that. Okay. And I didn't want that to be my legacy as a human. Willie from, northeast side of the island, Port McNeil, played in the NHL, won two mm-hmm. Stanley Cups. And am I proud of that? For sure. But once you get to the latter stages of your career, I guess, and you've accomplished all that, you're like, oh, what's next? And what's more with some substance? And I guess for me, it was my own insecurities told me is like, you know what, I'm going to jump into the real world. Because mm-hmm. this real world of professional hockey and an athlete of flying around on a jet everywhere. And one minute I'm in New York City, the next minute I'm in LA. And, it's a weird world, right? Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. a rock star, but pretty close. And I said, I wanted to figure out the real world. And that opportunity came on and it was my own insecurities and said, I want to get in the real world and see if I can swim. And, mm-hmm. So one of my business partners, at the time, cause I have two, said, hey, do you want to take a shot at this? Mm-hmm. And I had met him through some philanthropic stuff that we do together. And I was like, yeah, sure. As long as you're, mm-hmm. You're there to provide some guidance in this, new career for me. And, it's a long story since then. It's 5 years ago. I'll just say that this person is a serial entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. He's uber intelligent, the art of the deal. He's one of the best, mm-hmm. but he also couldn't be as hands-on as what I was hoping for.
Right.
And with that, I got an MBA in hospitality in probably a year.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I had to figure it out on my own. And yes. We made some mistakes, like any entrepreneur makes, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only way you figure shit out, right? Is, mm-hmm. is pull the rock, see what's underneath. Okay. Right. Learned there. Oh, mistake there. Pull the next one and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'd just say I'm probably not the most intelligent person in the room, but I'm curious and passionate. And I think successful entrepreneurs, in my opinion, are curious mm-hmm. and passionate. They figure it out. And totally. that's kind of how I got to be a resort owner. And it's been cool. It's been a fun ride. Like I say, that there's a lot of money I had in capital I spent out of the at the onset that I certainly wouldn't spend today. But that's yes. also made me, I think, a better entrepreneur and managing partner of this business, and that made me a better owner and certainly understand things much better now.
Totally. Yeah. And when you said that you wanted to jump into the real world, do you think that was something that you wanted to prove for yourself or prove for others? Because you talked a lot about TV and, you know, you were a public figure. So where did that come from when you wanted to jump into the real world, you said?
Yeah, I don't know. And the self-reflection is still ongoing, mm-hmm. right? I don't think, you know, I've had moments, everyone's like, oh, Willie, you're really into fishing. And Willie's really into like solitude. I'm into nature. It's my healing grounds. And so yes. fishing is just my vehicle to get me out and disconnection. I do yes. stupid stuff where I go over 100 miles offshore on Vancouver Island a lot. And am I doing it to chase tuna that are out there? Or am I doing it just to chase that, like I said, that solitude yes. and moments where I can reflect? And guess what? Cell phones don't work out there. It's a nice, mm-hmm. nice spot to be and have those deep moments of reflection. I'd say it's probably a two-part answer. Like I said earlier, my insecurities. I wasn't a great student in school. I don't think I learned well in the traditional school system. Also, I think just wasn't a priority for me mm-hmm. as a young boy, right? It started to become a priority at university. And then even more so, probably about, the age of 27, 28, the NHL, I was just had this moment where I was like, my God, can I swear on this podcast?
Yes, of course. Okay. Yeah, you can.
My God, am I ever wasting a lot of fucking time on an airplane mm-hmm. playing cards and doing nothing, right? Yeah. Because, we would put on like 60,000 miles easy, like a wow. year, and mm-hmm. not including playoffs. And it's just like a lot of time. And I was mm-hmm. just like, I just want to learn more. And, you know, as we all mature as human beings, I think at that moment, I was just like, man, I missed out on a lot of stuff on early education. I wanted to kind of like start to like peel that onion per se and start to get some more knowledge. And so I think two parts is one being known as Willie Mitchell, the hockey player. I hated that because, mm-hmm. like I say, I felt like there was more to me than that. Mm-hmm. So that spearheaded this. And then my insecurities about I wasn't a great student. And mm-hmm. That's when I say, you know, real world and get out and swing. And that's what I've done. And at times as a professional athlete, I'd say I'm hard on myself for sure. Mm-hmm. In my previous life, the pinnacles is this cool, you know, two little silver things that I have in my office at home that are mm-hmm. the pinnacle. There's nothing better, right? Mm-hmm. There's and as a business, it's like, okay, we've grown revenues at 30-35% year over year, right? Mm-hmm. Our flow through our EBITDA is getting better and all that. And there's no such thing as perfection. Totally, and that's been yeah. hard for me as my development too, is to understand that, you know, as I flip roles where I was mm-hmm. an employee working for the team and now I am, you know, the owner and entrepreneur and founder, is that it's flipping it over and to understand the dynamics that, you know, I probably just need to be 80% there all the time. And if you're living at 80%, you're probably mm-hmm. living in a good space. So those are some of the things I think what really inspired me to get in and do this. And I think, you know, this is actually inspiring me to do other things beyond this as well.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. And as you said, like being an NHL player is kind of like a rock star. You reach these incredible moments of like high and euphoria. And then day-to-day life, it's like running a business. You have these moments where it's not necessarily like you're not going to get a big trophy for it, but you're still affecting people's lives, which is amazing. So where do you find your fulfillment with your role now?
Yeah. It's a great question. Is like, mm-hmm. you have that euphoria, and like my euphoria, I always tell that story is like, in 2012 at a later age, I won the Stanley Cup after some pretty good adversity where I thought I'd never play hockey again. I was out for 11 months with a pretty severe concussion. And, you know, as anyone knows, is that, you know, windy, turny, you know, steep grade, all those things make success so much freaking greater. And, you know, I had this moment of where I held the Stanley Cup over my head, and, you know, it was probably only 20 seconds, but it was crystal clear, flash frame, tack sharp from the age of freaking 7 till that moment at age 35. Of my life and all the sacrifices I made to get that moment, mm-hmm. tack sharp, everything. Oh, you're not good enough. This, mm-hmm. like in 20 seconds, it was the most incredible euphoric moment ever. And I think sometimes in my life, I've been trying to recreate that moment. And as we know, every journey is different, mm-hmm. and it's different because it was a very tangible goal. What's the tangible goal is for Tofino Resort Marina. Well, mm-hmm. you know, our guiding principles as our company, right, is, you know, we care about people, we care about the planet, we care about the community, you know, triple bottom line company, right? But we want to be one of the leading adventure agents in the Pacific Northwest, driving deeper conversations and connections to the natural world. That's who we are. And that's when I had my aha moment in my business is like, mm-hmm. okay, I drove into this because of my insecurities. Figuring out, okay, Willie, who are you? I'm a bit of an empath. I'm a bit of a people pleaser. I like to see people mm-hmm. happy. And that's been my own growth as a leader, is to not be that. But we see, you know, in this cool spot on the planet, which is Tofino and our resort, we see probably around 150,000 people through our property annually. Mm-hmm. Big number.
Yes.
And I love nature. Nature's, like I said, my healing grounds. I think as a British Columbian, oh, just gratitude. We are so lucky to live on this spot on the planet. And just the other day, I was picked like 17 pounds of morels that I can eat with my family. I can go out today and forage, whether I'm free dive or traditional style traps, and go get some Dungeness crab or urchin or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is wealth? And so I was, mm-hmm. you know, and I think constantly in life, we're chasing those things. Is so. I chased a dream. Now I've been chasing, oh, what I thought, you know, what wealth is, was like, oh, successful mm-hmm. in business.
Yes.
And then as I've gone deeper into it, I'm like, oh no, it's like, this is why I bought this business. This is why I landed. Is what I love food. My wife went to culinary school. Mm-hmm. I love the planet. I'm in one of the coolest spots on planet Earth, sitting next to a federal park. This place will never change. And I have this awesome platform to take guests who are coming to this cool spot on the planet, mm-hmm. out into the natural world, and hopefully challenge their current views to the planet. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to force that upon them. We're just going to set the table and let them come to the thoughts that they kind of what, you know, is driven out of our adventure and our things and health and wellness that we do is, you know, whatever thoughts come to their mind. Hopefully those thoughts, and we believe those thoughts will be, is challenge their own views about what they're doing, whether it's with their waste, with transport, all those things to our planet. And so that's kind of my aha moment was, it's not because my life's not going to change on the corner box. You know, will it help a little bit? For sure. Where it can really feel like legacy and feel empowered is actually having people come through our site and not only have a lifetime, a memory for a summer, a memory for a lifetime, and then also, mm-hmm. Like I say, challenge their views around our planet and the indigenous communities would live here. So that's kind of my aha moment that I had, like probably about a year ago, is like, this is why this kind of story unfolded, and this mm-hmm. is my calling within it. Not saying I'm gonna do it forever. Hospitality is a beast.
I was gonna say, like, how, yeah. like, what's the most challenging? Would you say it's the hospitality, where it's very customer facing, but also Tofino, for those that don't know, it's very tourist driven, especially in the summer yeah. months. So how do you, you know that yep. at the end of the day, your place is a business, but you still want to respect the community that's been built around there. So I'm just curious to know how yep. you manage that and what's the most challenging.
Yeah, I'd say like, you know, twofold is when you say most challenging is food and beverage, without a doubt. And right. that's widely known as any entrepreneur, food and beverage models, like really, really hard. And then when you lay on some systemic issues in this inflationary environment we're in, it also provides a lot of resistance to putting together a proper org chart, right? There has been some change within the world due to the last 2 years in COVID and people, you know, reevaluating their lives and what's important. And I think that's been amazing. But as any entrepreneur knows, it's been super challenging for a lot, especially within the hospitality industry. It's like that whole thing of, you know, you're running as an entrepreneur, you're running down the train tracks, right? I think that's been the hardest challenge is affordable housing, mm-hmm. which as an entrepreneur, we have, right? I've done that. I've had to buy, I think about own about 12 homes in Tofino outside of my business.
Wow. Yeah.
And we use that for senior level and mid-level staffing. We mm-hmm. also own homes for working holiday people. Hospitality, right. as you know, like if you're over in the UK, it's a profession. Mm-hmm. Traditionally in Canada or specifically in British Columbia, it's more as a vehicle to go out and see different parts of the world. And because of that, it's hard. There's a lot of burn via onboarding and offboarding people. And mm-hmm. you need that, you know, to carry that institutional knowledge over because there is a lot of movement through the front of your business. And even with the senior level team, there is too, because in Tofino, you look to purchase a home and you can pay a competitive salary and provide some really big incentives, which we do on people's salaries, is that there's systemic issues. Buying a home here, it's about $1.8 million, just entry. That's entry level.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. It's the entry level. Like if you go online right now, that's an entry level home.
Okay.
With a yard, like a single family residence.
Yes. Yes.
And so if you, your funnel becomes narrow in the sense that you're either hiring, you know, case in point for me, my business, I had to hire a director of finance here lately. And you're either hiring someone junior who doesn't have, the experience in a multi-revenue property of this mm-hmm. Nature of ours, or you're hiring senior, because you can't hire anyone like myself who's in their mid 40s and two kids, because I have to go make a capital investment of 1.7, or they look and say, yeah, on my comp and on my incentive, right. I still don't see a future for myself in the community.
Okay.
So yeah, mm-hmm. obviously I've spent most of my time learning hospitality. I'm fortunate enough for me, I have a good friend, David Hawksworth, who's in food and beverage side. So I've kind of pulled mm-hmm. that knowledge, right? When you don't know, you ask questions. But I think, you know, some of the bigger challenges now for our business are more macro challenges, right? More regional in the sense, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Alberni Valley / Tofino. And like I say, those systemic things around housing, right? And not just workforce housing, affordable housing.
Yeah, I didn't even realize 1.8. That's crazy. Like, I know that Vancouver is quite expensive, but Tofino, that's crazy for such a small area.
Yeah. Like right now, I think we're going to see a change in that due to inflation here and raising rates. Cause I think, mm-hmm. unfortunately, we're not there yet, but usually once the data says it, we've already been there. We're probably at the early stages of a recession here with raising rates. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to think some of those problems will hopefully regulate themselves, but then some of it's going to have to happen from the district for sure. And mm-hmm. actually taking on some projects. And it's been this internal, you asked about community and conflict. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we've kind of hit our stride as a business. We just kind of go about our business. That's what we like doing. Mm-hmm. We have our philanthropic arm. We don't try and put it all out there on the PR. We do it because it's important to us and important mm-hmm. to our people. So we've kind of started to find our stride here. Is that I grew up in northeast side of the island, and you know, blue collar family. My dad was, you know, heavy duty mechanic in forestry. My mom didn't work for the longest time and then worked for actually, you know, BC Ferries, you know, prototypical British Columbian family right there. Right. And I say that as the Indigenous people were a big part of our lives because my mom spent so much time as they went over to Alert Bay, which is the Namgis First Nations there. And, and so I have a really tight and strong bond with them. And further is just over our house, Mother Earth, right? Mm-hmm. And so in Tofino, organically, that's happened. So we have a really strong relationship here with Indigenous communities. And that's something where we believe as a business is that, you know, there's reconciliation, there's rights and title. They're not, in my world, they're two completely different things. But reconciliation in my world means just have empathy for the wrongdoings and respect that their culture, right? And that's what we try and do. And we think it's freaking awesome, cool story, and it's well deserved. And God forbid, I can't imagine with my two kids right now and all the stuff what happened. And so we do that, and now we're at the maturity of a business because the business we took over had no systems. The guy who owned it was a land developer, not an operator. So he sunk in the capital and decided to operate this thing. So we had to actually develop these systems in most small boutique properties or even resorts of this style, as you know, whether it's a Rosewood or a Fairmont, they have operators.
Right.
We're owner operator. So we had to develop all that out. So now we're just at a stride where we can start to make those community efforts, right? Mm-hmm. And start to ingrain ourselves in the community more. And that's been a real fun thing to do, right? For sure. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And I'd love to end the episode with a few rapid fire questions.
Sure.
If you're good with that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know the questions yet. So am I speaking too early?
What is your favorite dish on the 1909 kitchen menu?
My favorite dish. Well, we're just in the middle of a refresh of the menu because we've got a new executive chef, but I'm a pizza hound. I cook pizza at my house a lot. So like a proper Neapolitan pizza, right? Like just Margo pizza if done right. There's nothing better. So that's my favorite.
Yeah, that's amazing. Where is your safe haven spot? If you can kind of just like you want to be, again, you told you maybe it's fishing. I don't know. Is there an exact spot?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I really haven't done many of these lately because I've led a sheltered life. But I was going to answer really quickly and say fishing or on my boat. The true answer now is with my kids.
Amazing. Right? Yes.
Just like the purity, the creativity, the self-reflection and what they're teaching me is, you know, it's really cliche, but that's my space now. It used to be, like I say, in nature and still is. I still need a large part of that, but being with my children for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what was one of your favorite birthdays that you've had? Shit.
Don't know. The first one to get life and to enjoy this beautiful planet and to shape and create your own life by design. I'd say my first birthday, the fact that I got into this world and be able to shape and do whatever I want is a really gift and honor.
Mm-hmm. Great answer. If your friends, family would give you an award, what would it be?
Oof. I don't know. I don't really do well with stuff about me. Award for integrity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that anyways.
Yes. Yes. Great answer. And last question, who are the three most influential people in your life?
Oh, narrow it
down. You can group together if you want.
Yeah. Narrow it down. Like, you know, cliche, but always our parents. Mm-hmm. One with my father always sticks out is just, you know, I was young and my father's just only take what you need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've tried to encourage my kids around that circular experience, only taking what we need. And so I think that's something that obviously most people would say their parents, so they're certainly influential in my life. I don't know. I'd say in another career, that's what I'll do. As parents, this is easy. Now you got me. my previous life, a guy named Jacques Lemaire, he's a Hockey Hall of Famer. He had this really amazing ability as a teacher to make things so simple. And I remember him, I thought I was better than what I was as an NHL player. And had this really amazing game. And he called me in the office and said, you know, there was a couple iconic Hall of Famers, Steve Yzerman, Dominic Hasek, all these other players. And he said, Willie, three chances for them, three chances for. He said, who scored more goals? And pretty easy answer. He was all Hall of Famers. They would. And he said, you're big, you're strong, and you're physical. You can spend all your energy on defense. You'll play a long, long time and make more money than I ever did as a Hall of Famer. And I was a smart enough kid to listen. And that's what I did. And I did do that. And so I'd say Jacques, hands down, most influential in my hockey life. He had this really good situational awareness to him. And then I guess in my new career of this, I don't know. I think there's been a multitude of people. There's been people within the F&B silo. There's been people in the hotel operations. My business partner, like I said, he's been someone with the art of the deal where I've learned a lot on. He's, you know, I'm probably have to be 80% there and I go ahead. He has to be about, you know, he's probably on the low end, 51%. He's betting. but I'd say he's someone who's pushed me and in the sense that it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as it's three quarters of the way there and then you, and if it goes awry at that point in time, then you mitigate and make another decision. And so just making decisions creates forward momentum, and that forward momentum ultimately drives you down the path that you want. So those would be my three.
Those are really good answers. Well, thank you so much, Willie. I appreciate your honesty, sharing your story. If anyone who hasn't been to Tofino, you have to go. It's one of my favorite places in the world. It is magical, as you said. It's beautiful. So thank you so much again for sharing your story.
Of course, anytime. Pleasure. Nice meeting you.